The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 151, Savannah, January 22, 1740. My Honorable Friend and Brother in Christ, your last letter quite confounded me. What am I that I should be thus highly favored? I can only say that less than the least of all God's mercies shall be my motto still. I have experienced many inward trials since I saw you last, but I find they work continually for my good. I rejoice in what our dear Lord Jesus has done for your soul. May a double portion of his blessed Spirit rest upon you. May our glorious, ever-blessed Emmanuel cause all his glory to pass before you, and may you be filled with all the fullness of God. Since my arrival here, I have received a few endearing, instructive letters from Mr. Ralph E. I have answered it, and I told him you promised to write about the necessity of a Catholic spirit. Dr. C. also has favored me with a loving epistle. I have received and read his sermons since I saw you. They are acute and pointed, but I think not searching enough by many degrees. My dear brother, I love writers that go to the bottom. God willing, I hope to be with you at the Synod. But what think you? I am sometimes doubting whether I shall have sufficient matter given me to preach upon. Methinks I hear you say, O thou of little faith, wherefore dost thou doubt? As thy day is, so shall thy strength be. Michael and the dragon, I hear, are carrying on war most bravely in England. I really believe we shall not die till we see the kingdom of God come with power. The affairs of the orphan house are in great forwardness. I have much to say, but time and business will not permit. Blessed be God, eternity is at hand, and then we shall have time enough. I have read some of your books to my great profit. I want to be taught the way of God more perfectly all the day long. My tenderest respects await the brethren. My dear fellow travelers salute you. You are often remembered both by them and your affectionate, though very weak and unworthy brother, servant, and fellow laborer in Christ, G.W. End of letter 151. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 152, to the Reverend Mr. C., Savannah, January 24, 1740. Reverend and dear sir, I received your kind, though undeserving, letter, and now snatch a few moments from my other avocations in order to send you a short answer. May God, who knits the elect in one communion and fellowship, sanctify our friendship and correspondency to the stirring up each other to love and to good works. It pleased me to find you breathe so Catholic a spirit. Oh, that bigotry and party zeal were not so much as once named among us as become saints. Since Christ is not divided in himself, why should Christians be divided one among another? Bigotry, I am sure, can never be the fruit of that wisdom which cometh from above. No, it is earthly, sensual, and devilish. When I come to England, I shall endeavor to recommend an universal charity among all the true members of Christ's mystical body. Perhaps, therefore, the fields may be the most unexceptionable place to preach in. You and your brother, I am persuaded, will follow our Lord even without the camp, and rejoice to bear his sacred reproach. Assist me, dear sir, in your prayers, that my coming may be in the fullness of the gospel of peace. I shall come only with my sling and with my stone. If the Lord shall be pleased so to direct me, that I may strike some self-righteous Goliath to the heart, I know you will rejoice with, reverend and dear sir, your most affectionately in the love of our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 152. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 153, to Mr. W.D., Savannah, January 31st, 1740. My dear brother in Christ, blessed be God for the good report I hear of your zeal for our dear Emmanuel. Go on, I beseech you, by the mercies of God and Jesus Christ. Go on, and I am persuaded the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in your hands. If I am thrown aside as a broken vessel, so I see you and others stirred up to carry on our dear Lord's kingdom. If my heart does not deceive me, I shall rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. God blesses the affair of the orphan house. The work is large, but we have omnipotency for our support. I believe I shall take in near 50 children. God lets me see every day that He orders my goings. He visits me with inward trials. But if I had not such thorns in the flesh, what would become of me? Fear not to speak the truth. If driven out of England, here is a noble range for you in America. At present I am restrained, but I could not rest without letting you have a line from your most affectionate brother and servant, G.W. End of letter 153. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 154. To Mrs. D., Sylvania, January 31st, 1740. Dear Madam, I rejoice to hear that you are likely to be cast out of your mother's will only for following Christ. This may be only the beginning of temptations. God, I believe, out of love, will try you to the utmost. You have drank deep of heavenly comforts. You must pledge our Lord in His cup of sufferings. Those who saw Him on Mount Tabor always were with Him in the garden. But fear not, the Lord is with you. Neither man nor devil shall hurt you. The sweet communion you have had with God, and through Him with one another, often comforts my soul. Who knows but that time may be again repeated? Indeed, I want words as well as time to express with what thankfulness I desire to subscribe myself, dear Madam, your unworthy brethren and obliged servant in our common Lord, G.W. End of letter 154. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 155, to Captain M., Savannah, January 31st, 1740. Dear Sir, I rejoice to hear of your good health and take this opportunity of sending you Mr. Law's and Mr. Halliburton's life, which I pray God to sanctify to your benefit and comfort. I hope you will watch over your heart and take care to keep up those convictions which God once put into your soul. I am afraid of Mr. B. The world, I fear, has got hold of him. Captain M., I trust, will not desert his master. I am sure he would die rather than prove false to an earthly prince. Oh, let him not desert his dear Redeemer's colors. Dear sir, beg of God to root out of your heart a desire for that honor which cometh of man. Till dead to the world, you will not be alive to God. Honor falsely, so called, has destroyed millions. That you may be never carried away with or ruined by it is the hearty prayer of, dear sir, yours, etc., G.W. End of letter 155. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 156. To the Reverend Mr. W. T., Savannah, January 31st, 1740. My dear and honored brother, blessed be God who hath pleasure in the prosperity of His servants. I am abased to think what our all-gracious Redeemer hath done by my unworthy hands, and rejoice to hear that He is working by yours. Oh, that you may experience fresh anointings and teaching from above. Oh, that you may be strengthened by God's mighty power in the inner man, and pull down Satan's strongholds daily. God willing, I hope to be with you at the Synod. I find, as yet, I scarce know anything, but if I give out of my little stock, I trust the Lord will increase it, as He did little lads, loaves, and fishes. My journal, which I have sent to Philadelphia, will tell you what God has done in Maryland and Virginia. A foundation of great things, I believe, is laying here. Oh, pray that a sense of my own littleness may be given to your affectionate, though unworthy, brother and fellow laborer in Christ, G.W. End of letter 156. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 157, Savannah, January 31, 1740. My dear sister, I rejoice to hear that you are enabled to see not only the freeness but eternal duration of God's grace. Till the sinner is convinced of this, I am persuaded he can neither work from a principle of true love, nor give Jesus Christ the honor due unto His name. He must always be making his salvation to depend partly, at least, on his own doings. If I can do so and so, Jesus Christ will give me his grace. But can any believer who knows himself help confessing that after he had received grace he should have finally fallen from it, had the continuance of it depended on his own will? Indeed, my dear sister, nothing so much comforts my own soul as the thought that God will never leave me nor forsake me. If he does, it must be for my unworthiness. But on that account it cannot be, for he never chose me on account of my unworthiness. He loved me freely. He prevented me by his grace. He chose me from eternity. He called me in time, and I am persuaded will keep me till time shall be no more. This consideration makes my faith to work by love. Now, I can live not barely upon my frames, which notwithstanding are blessed things, but on the promises. Now, I can go on my way rejoicing, and amidst all dejections, lift up my head in prospect of a certain and exceeding weight of glory. Though I fall, I know I shall rise again. For he that is brought truly to believe on Jesus Christ, his faith shall never die. The Lord Jesus will not suffer to be lost the purchase of his blood. He knew for whom he died, and neither man nor devil shall ever pluck them out of his hands. Such as have been taught most of God, I find, are thus minded. And I am persuaded were the effects of our Lord's redemption to depend on a man's own compliancy, or was the continuance of God's grace to depend solely on man's improvement, Jesus Christ would have died in vain. Adam could not stand in paradise when left to his own free will. How, then, can we? No, blessed be our God, our salvation is put into better hands than our own. Jesus Christ has purchased not only wisdom, righteousness, and sanctification, but also eternal redemption for us. Let this thought, my dear sister, lift up our hands when they hang down and strengthen our feeble knees. God's gifts and callings are without repentance. There is no condemnation to them that are truly in Christ Jesus. And I write thus peremptorily to you, because I find now you are able to bear it. Blessed be God, my dear sister. Flesh and blood has not revealed this unto you. I hope ere long our brethren will lay all carnal reasoning aside and see him preach the truth in this respect, as it is in Jesus. My kindest love to your sister. What I write to one, I write to both. The Lord direct your going in his way and cause you to continue instant in prayer. For your weak brethren and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 157. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 158. To Mrs. Elizabeth W., Savannah, January 31, 1740. My dear sister, I have been reading over your letter and felt a real sympathy with the writer, oh, that it may increase till we are filled with all the fullness of God. Some passages in your letter were dangerous to my soul. Whenever you see any growth of grace, pray that I may grow in humility in particular. Oh, that I was lowly in heart. Honor and dishonor, good report and evil report, would then be alike, and prove a furtherance to me in my Christian cause. I believe the time is shortly coming in that which I am to endure something for my Lord and Master. Then will I cry out, who is on the Lord's side? Nothing supports me under the prospect of a trying time so much as the sense of God's everlasting love. I am persuaded that neither men nor devils shall ever pluck me out of his almighty hands. Let this support you, my dear sister, in your change of life. Wherever you are, I am confident you will have reason to say, surely God is in this place. That you may wax stronger and stronger and ripen daily for growth is the hearty prayer of your affectionate brother and servant in our dear Emmanuel, G.W. End of letter 158. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 159. To Mr. J.N., Savannah, January 31st, 1740. Dear Sir, I hope you will excuse my not answering your kind letter sooner. The many avocations that at present surround me prevented it. I rejoice to hear that our Lord Jesus is getting himself the victory in the hearts of poor sinners. I hope many will now rejoice in his salvation. One good sign is that he has employed the meanest, as well as vilest wretch that he ever yet sent forth. When I hear that any good is done by my unworthy hands, it almost makes me to blush. Oh, that I could humble myself in the dust, that the Lord alone may be exalted in his strength. I purpose to revisit New York at the appointed time. You told me, quote, our Lord has not sent me into his vineyard at my own charge, unquote. Indeed, I always find he furnishes me with things convenient. Nay, he is often so abundant in goodness and truth that I am obliged to cry out in holy admiration, quote, my Lord and my God, unquote. Dear sir, help me to be thankful. Blessed be God, the orphan house affairs succeed well. Many souls will be redeemed by it from temporal, and I trust, from eternal bondage. I have taken in upwards of 20 children already, and I take in more daily. I am building a large house, have many servants, and a good stock of cattle. It will cost much money, but our Lord will see to that. My friends at New York will assist me when I come among them. Oh, that my coming may be in the fullness of the blessings of the gospel of peace. I am persuaded you will not be wanting in your prayers on behalf of, dear sir, your obliged friend and servant in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of letter 159. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 160, to Mrs. Elizabeth D., Savannah, February 1st, 1740. My dear sister in Christ, I generally observe that whom the Lord loves, for the most part he keeps from preferment. Your grandmother cannot do any more than she is permitted. It is God's free grace alone that has made the difference between us and others. Oh, that we were duly sensible of electing love. Indeed, it must necessarily constrain us to obedience. I am glad you like Bochim, B-O-C-H-I-M. His works are duly evangelical and afford sweet nourishment to the newborn soul. The nearer we come to God, the better we shall relish searching books. It is an evident sign of a false heart when it is unwilling to be probed. Blessed be God, you are not thus minded. I trust the Lord Jesus has apprehended you and will henceforth never let you go. Oh, that I may hear of your growth in grace and of your zeal for the Lord of hosts. You do well to go about doing good. Your master did so before you. Dare, dear miss, to follow his good example, and never fear the revelings of men. Set your face as flint against all the adversaries of our Lord. For shortly you shall tread all your enemies under feet. I beseech you, by the mercies of God in Christ Jesus our Savior, to keep up a close walk in communion with God. Nothing else can preserve you from idols, and you know when once the soul is off its watch, the devil makes sad ravages in it. There is nothing I dread more than having my heart drawn away by earthly objects. When the time comes, it will be over with me indeed. I must then bid adieu to zeal and fervency of spirit, and, in effect, bid the Lord Jesus to depart with me. For, alas, what room can there be for God when a rival hath taken possession of the heart? O my dear sister, pray that no such evil may befall me. My blood runs cold at the very thought thereof. I cannot away with it. In a multi-simplicity of business, have I wrote you these lines. I thank you for your kind letter, and hope I shall always retain a grateful sense of the many favors I have received from your dear family. My kindest respects attend your sister. I long to hear of her being brought into the glorious liberty of the children of God. How does your father? Oh, that he may have a well-grounded interest in Christ. How does my dear brother Charles? I pray God to fill him with all joy and peace in believing. And how does your little sister? Dearest Redeemer, keep her unspotted from the world. My heart is now full. Writing quickens me. I could almost drop a tear and wish myself for a moment or two in England. But hush, nature. God here pours down his blessings on. Your sincere friend and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 160. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 161, to the Reverend Mr. D.R., Sylvania, February 4th, 1740. My Reverend and dear brother, I received your kind letter just on my arrival at this place. My journal, which I suppose you have read ere this reaches Wales, can best inform you of what God hath done for my own and other people's souls. Even here, he is pleased to be with and assist us. The orphan house goes on bravely. I believe I shall take in nearly 50 children before I return to England. He that feedeth the young ravens which call upon him will not suffer them to want. I rejoice to hear that the Lord Jesus is so publicly confessed among your countrymen. If the Lord is pleased to send me, I shall gladly take a tour into Wales. In this time of retirement, I expect many inward conflicts. How otherwise shall I be prepared for future mercies? Experience of God's work upon our own souls is the best qualification to preach it effectively to others. In about 2 months, I take another tour around America. The gospel, I believe, will come with power in these parts. I expect to suffer in the flesh for what hath been done already. But what have we to do with the consequences of performing our duty? Let them to God. Oh, my dear brother, pray for me that my faith fail not, and then I care not what persecution befalls. Your weak, unworthy brother in Christ, G.W. End of letter 161. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 162, to Mr. H.H., Sylvania, February 4th, 1740. My dear brother, will this find you in prison or not? Your last letter, which I received upon my arrival here, gave me some expectations that ere long you would be both in prison and bonds. By and by I shall follow, perhaps. The Lord sanctify all his dispensations to us and make us not only willing to be bound, but even to die for the sake of our dear Master. When I read how my letters, etc., are blessed to your comfort, it quite confounds me. Oh, the free grace of Christ Jesus our Lord! My dear brother, let us continue instant in season and out of season. Let us continually preach up free grace, though we die for it. We cannot lose our lives in a better cause. As I am enabled, I remember you at the throne of grace. In general, I sigh out my prayers. But the Spirit, I trust, makes intercession for me with groanings that cannot be uttered. I have not much enlargement in preaching since I have been here, but my heart is often weighed down and torn to pieces with a sense of my desperately wicked and deceitful heart. I can subscribe to what you say. Was God to leave me to myself, I should be eminent for and a ringleader in sin. I sometimes think my heart is more vicious and perverse than anyone's. And yet, Jesus Christ will come and dwell in me. Methinks I hear you say, glory be to free grace. All praise be given to electing love. Let all that love the Lord Jesus say, amen. Please write to me as often as possible. God, I believe, is laying a foundation for great things in Georgia. I am building a large house and taking in many children. Wrestle with God in behalf of, brother, your eternally in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of letter 162. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 163, to Mr. H., Sylvania, February 4th, 1740. How is it with your heart? I hope the Lord Jesus leads you on from conquering to conquer and gets himself a victory every day. I cannot but think that hereafter great things will be done in America. God seems to have given some earnest of it already. My next journal will acquaint you with what they are. It often pleases me to reflect how Christ's kingdom is securely carried on in spite of men and devils, and that, too, by the weakest instruments in different parts of the world. Surely we unite at last, and that glorious time will come when, With one heart and with one voice we shall sing praises to him who sitteth upon the throne forever. A glorious epiphany, I trust, will shortly be made in the hearts of many souls. My dearest brother, let us do or suffer anything so we may be made instruments of beginning and carrying on so divine a work. As for my own part, I often stand astonished at the riches of predistinguishing grace, and I often feel myself so great a sinner that I am tempted to think nothing can be blessed which comes from such unhallowed hands and lips. But yet the Lord is with me and attended my word with mighty power on Christmas Day. Pray remember me to all friends. I expect you will receive the letters I sent from Philadelphia ere this comes to hand. I depend on seeing your journal and hope you will accept of my most cordial love from, dearest brother, yours eternally, in Jesus Christ, G.W. End of letter 163. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, dated 1771. Letter 164. To Mr. H.G., Sylvania, February 4th, 1740. My dear brother, what shall I say to your kind letter? I bless the Lord for awakening you to see the necessity of trusting in a better righteousness than your own. And I adore him for making use of so mean an instrument as I am. It is a plain proof that the power is not of man, but of God alone. Labor, dear sir, to keep up these convictions in your heart. Now God has called you. Take care of lying down again. Be always trimming your lamp as though you were in expectation every moment to meet the heavenly bridegroom. Search more and more into the corruption of your own heart, and never rest till God's Spirit witnesses with your spirit that you are a child of God. Let the deadness of those around you excite your zeal. See that you are a burning and a shining light in the midst of such a crooked and perverse generation. And let a sense of God's distinguishing love to you above others excite you to distinguish yourself by your obedience, still remembering that the Lord Jesus is our whole and everlasting righteousness. That we both may be found in him is the hearty prayer of your sincere friend and servant in Christ, G.W. End of letter 167. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 165. To the Reverend Mr. F. Sylvania, February 29th, 1740. Reverend and dear sir, with great pleasure I answer your kind letter and earnestly pray that God would be pleased to sanctify our correspondency. It rejoices my soul when I find a clergyman that loves our Lord Jesus in sincerity. It is with regret that I speak against any of the sacred function, but when their preaching and walk are directly contrary to the gospel of our Lord Jesus, I cannot but speak to them as well as to the laity. To the best of my knowledge, I preach the truth as it is in Jesus, and simply aim at bringing souls to him. Blessed be his free grace for the success he has been pleased to give me. Not unto me, but unto his holy name be all the glory. Daily I am convinced that God's hand is not shortened. He blesses me here as well as elsewhere. The orphan house is in great forwardness. I feed near 100 mouths daily, and am assured I serve a God who will supply all our wants. It would rejoice me to see you at Sylvania, if your business will permit. I can now provide things convenient for your reception. In about 6 weeks, I propose, God willing, to go northward. If you can, pray favor me with your company before that time. My friends will rejoice to hear and see you. They join with me in affectionate respects to yourself and Mrs. F. I have sent you a little few tracts in long for opportunity to convince you, Reverend and dear sir, how sincerely I subscribe myself, your affectionate brother and fellow laborer in our dear Lord Jesus, G.W. End of letter 165. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 166. To Captain H.M. Sylvania, March 2nd, 1740. Dear sir, with pleasure I received your kind letter last night and immediately prayed that God would never leave you before he had finished the good work begun in your heart. He has given you a rational, I hope ere long, he will give you a spiritual conviction of sin and of Christ. When that comes, all opposition will fall before it. The world will be as nothing in your eyes, and you will act like a soldier of Jesus Christ. Indeed, dear sir, I travail as it were in birth, till Jesus Christ be thoroughly formed within you. If I do not forget my promise, I do not forget your favors. I make mention of you in my prayers. Linger not, dear sir, but haste out of your spiritual Sodom. Flee, flee to Jesus Christ, whose sacred blood has made an atonement for sinners. Lay hold on his everlasting righteousness, and choose rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy anything that this world may afford for a season. Accept the sermons I have herewith sent, and believe me to be, dear sir, your affectionate friend and servant in Jesus Christ, G.W. End of letter 166. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 167. To Mr. James S., March 2, 1740. Dear Mr. S., blessed be God that you are yet alive as to your body. Blessed be God that some sparks of divine light are yet discernible in your soul. Indeed, I have been frequently distressed for you and your companions, lest Satan, through the corruption of your hearts and the deceitfulness of worldly business, should get an advantage over you. Oh, watch, my dear friend, watch unto prayer. Keep close to God through a living faith in his dear Son. Forget not your first love, forget not a bleeding God, forget not that time when your soul was about to take its last flight. Oh, that I may meet you in triumph at the last day. Providence dwarfs my seeing you. Adieu, write as soon as you can. You have my prayers, and as a token of my love, be pleased to accept this letter and the book sent with it from your affectionate friend and servant, G.W. End of letter 167. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 168, to the Honorable J.W. Savannah, March 10, 1740. Honorable Sir, yesterday, after public worship, I received with pleasure your kind letter, and was immediately ready to cry out, "Why do so many of the Lord's servants take notice of such a dead dog as I am? Surely, sovereign, rich, and free grace was never exalted more than in the mercy shown to me, who am in truth the unworthiest of the sons of men. Honored Sir, it rejoices me to hear that there are so many at New England who love the Lord Jesus in sincerity and dare to shine his lights in the world amongst a crooked and perverse generation. I wish they may be all Aquilas and Priscillas to me, and teach me the way of God more perfectly, for I long to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Oh, he is a sweet master. Even here do I feel his blessed influences and rejoice with joy unspeakably and full of glory. He is often with us in the midst of his sanctuary, and much succeeds the orphan house. I have digged low and intend to build it high, because I have a great God to pay the charges. I have about 36 children, which I maintain and clothe, and have upwards of 40 persons more who are employed in the work. The plantation is in great forwardness. Many families are kept here by my employing them, and I hope to see many a youth bred up for God, for I design to breed up for the ministry all that at any time I shall proceed to be renewed by the Holy Ghost and endued with suitable natural abilities. The work, I am persuaded, is of God, and I know he will raise up instruments to support it. Let him choose whom seemeth him good. In about 3 months, God willing, I hope to be nearer at New England. I thank you from my soul, honored sir, for your kind invitation. But I believe am pre-engaged to one Mr. Est. The Lord reward both him and all others who received me in his name. I have not yet received the books which you was pleased to send me, because they are sent to the southward. But I expect them daily, and doubt not of their being profitable. I know not how to express my gratitude for your great condescension in writing to me, but that I may always behave so as not to be ashamed or subscribing myself, your obliged humble servant, G.W. End of letter 168. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, Letter 169, to the Reverend Mr. J.W. Savannah, March 26, 1740. Honored Sir, Since I returned here, I received your letter and journal. I thank you for both and shall wait almost with impatience to see a continuance of your account of what God is doing or has done among you. He knows my heart. I rejoice in whatever God has done by your hands. I could now send a particular answer to your last. But my honored friend and brother, for once hearken to a child who is willing to wash your feet. I beseech you by the mercies of God and Christ Jesus our Lord, if you would have my love confirmed towards you, write no more to me about misrepresentations wherein we differ. To the best of my knowledge at present, no sin has dominion over me, yet I feel the strugglings of indwelling sin day by day. I can therefore by no means come into your interpretation of the passage mentioned in the letter, and as explained in your prefix to Mr. Halliburton, the doctrine of election and the final perseverance of those who are truly in Christ, I am 10,000s more convinced of it, if possible, than when I saw you last. You think otherwise. Why then should we dispute, when there is no probability of convincing? Will it not, in the end, destroy brotherly love and insensibly take from us that cordial union and sweetness of soul which I pray God may always subsist between us? How glad would the enemies of the Lord be to see us divided? How many would rejoice should I join and make a party against you? And in one word, how would the cause of our common master every way suffer by our railing disputes above particular points of doctrines? Honored sir, let us offer salvation freely to all by the blood of Jesus, and whatever light God has communicated to us, let us freely communicate to others. I have lately read the life of Luther, and think it in no wise to his honor that the last part of his life was so much taken up in disputing with Zuinglius and others, who in all probabilities equally love the Lord Jesus, notwithstanding they might differ from him in other points. Let this, dear sir, be a caution to us. I hope it will to me, for by the blessing of God provoke me to it as much as you please. I do not think ever to enter the lists of controversy with you on the points wherein we differ. Only I pray to God that the more you judge me, the more I may love you, and learn to desire no one's approbation, but that of my Lord and Master Jesus Christ. Ere this reaches you, I suppose you will hear of my late excursion to Johnstown. A great work, I believe, is begun there. Enclosed, I have sent you Mr. Garden's letters. They will serve to convince you more and more of the necessity you lie under to be instant in season and out of season. Oh, dear honored sir, I wish you as much success as your own heart can wish. Was you here, I would weep over you with tears of love and tell you what great things God hath done for my soul since we last parted. Indeed and indeed, I often and heartily pray for your success in the gospel. May your inward strength and outward sphere increase day by day. May God use you as a choice and singular instrument of promoting his glory on earth, and may I see you crowned with an eternal and exceeding weight of glory in the world to come. This is the hearty desire of, honored sir, yours most affectionately in Christ Jesus, G.W. End of letter 169. The Works of the Reverend George Whitfield, Volume 1, being read by Peter John Parisius. Letter 170 to Mr. W. Sylvania, March 26, 1740. And how does dear Mr. Wall? His letter lies by me, and I now am inclined to answer it. My dear brother, how do you feel your heart? Is it grown sick of original and actual sin? Is it grown sick of unbelief and self-righteousness? Is it closely united to the Holy Jesus? Do you feed on him in your heart by faith? And do you receive of his fullness day by day? I ask you these questions because I want to see you right of the inward life, and to hear you talk of your having a feeling possession of your God. For he that believeth aright hath a witness within himself. How do the brethren? I hope there is no more saying, I am of Paul or I am of Apollos, but that you are often delirious of being one in Christ. I pray for
though distant from you, I believe I am preparing a place for many. Our work goes on bravely. I have near 40 little ones now in my house. Some of them, I trust, will be effectually wrought upon and made Christians indeed. We all live in love and unity, and most, I hope, are seeking after Jesus Christ. He is pleased from time to time to manifest himself to my soul and to show me how unworthy I am of the least mercy. Shortly I shall go northward to preach the gospel and collect fresh contributions for my orphans. God has given me an earnest of what he will do in America by the large collection that was made at Charlestown. I live every day in expectation of hearing from my London friends. My brother, the captain, refreshed my soul with glad tidings and letters from Bristol. God gave me great comfort and satisfaction in conversing with him, and I hope he will be a Christian indeed. Hallelujah. All salute you and the brethren. I am yours most affectionately in Christ Jesus. G.W. End of letter 170.